The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. Live in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tov, Howard. Good, thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Yes, excellent. Thank you. Tensions high.
Before we start, Howard, I just wanted to thank the listener who wrote in yesterday to correct the date of the Challenger disaster. I said the 1st of February, which of course is wrong. It was the 28th of January. So whoever that was, I think it was an anonymous person writing in. Thank you. I appreciate the corrections, and I think it's important to get things right.
Absolutely. All right. Tensions are high this morning in Gaza after an escalation of violence yesterday led Israel to carry out attacks on Gaza yesterday and last night. What are the details of the escalations?
So we saw an escalation along the border yesterday with the protests, which have still been continuing along the border, along the Gaza border. We know that these protests have been going on now for the best part of almost a year. I think they started in about March of last year, and they started every Friday having these protests. The protests have indeed continued, albeit on a slightly lower scale. But yesterday, for reasons which are not all that clear, there seemed to be a real escalation in the protests on Friday, and I'm not exactly sure what transpired that made the protesters decide that yesterday was going to be a good day to escalate things, but that's exactly what happened. There were a number of incidents along the Gaza border. There was some stone throwing. There were people who actually crossed the border into Israel and then very, very quickly returned back to Gaza before they could be apprehended. And then there was an incident of sniper fire, where snipers opened fire against Israeli troops who were stationed on the Israeli side of the border. And this was a very interesting situation because there was a brigade of paratroopers who were stationed along the Israeli side of the border. And one of the brigade commanders was actually hit by sniper fire. And he was hit in his helmet that he was wearing. And the pictures that I've seen of this helmet are quite astonishing because that helmet saved his life. I mean, in the end, the helmet took a direct hit from a live weapon. And the helmet, while it was severely damaged, actually absorbed the round that was fired towards him. And ultimately, the soldier was treated in hospital, was discharged later on the same day with very, very minor injuries. And so this is a great example of where, you know, wearing protective gear really, really comes into its own, because you often see, you know, the soldiers really dressed up with helmets and protective vests on and things like that. And of course, it does restrict their movement to some degree, and it's not necessarily the most comfortable outfit to have to wear when you're on patrol duty along the border. But yesterday, the helmet really proved itself, and fortunately, this brigade commander survived and will continue his work along with the paratroopers, and so we're very, very grateful for that. But the IDF kind of regarded this as an attack on Israeli soldiers, even though that particular soldier managed to survive without much injury and without many consequences. And so the IDF responded with tank fire, firing back into Gaza, and then overnight the Israeli Air Force were again in action. They were firing against Hamas training facilities, Hamas camps on the Gaza side of the border. So that went on last night. We are led to understand that as a result of these Israeli retaliations against Hamas, that in fact a Hamas operative was killed and a number of others were injured as a result of fire from Israeli tanks and Israeli aircraft. There haven't seemed to be any responses to that from the Hamas side, at least for the moment. But clearly, there is a lot of tension along that side of the border. And these great March of Return protests, which have now drawn further attention as a result of yesterday's incidents, I'm sure will continue. And the IDF will be keeping a very careful eye to see what goes on with these protests, Friday being, you know, the day after tomorrow. And so, you know, again, we're expecting that there will probably be a very significant escalation of the protests on Friday, which has generally been the day upon which they've been carried out. And we're expecting that there'll probably be further protests today as well. So again, you know, the situation is very, very tense, and the IDF aren't full patrol and full duty. For the moment, at least, the message to those people living around the Gaza area is to continue their daily routine, but with caution, to listen out for any further information, any further instructions that they are given, because things could potentially escalate quite substantially within a short period of time.
Anthony, doesn't this represent one of Israel's biggest nightmare scenarios, where they are, effectively dealing with a war on two different fronts? They are very active in Syria at the moment. We've got Iran making incredibly aggressive threats. We've got the Syrian ambassador saying that that they will retaliate against Ben Gurion, and of course Israel has a problem on its Gaza border as well. It seems from sitting on the outside to be quite alarming.
I don't think that we should necessarily be too alarmed by this, because in reality, I don't see any significant difference from what Israel's had to deal with throughout its lifetime almost. When you think about the wars that have been fought, whether it would be the War of Independence or the Six-Day War, or indeed even the Yom Kippur War, where wars were fought on various fronts all at the same time. I think that Israel over the years has become accustomed to having to deal with the situation. Having said that, obviously, the peace agreement with Egypt, the peace agreement with Jordan has potentially taken those two states at least out of the mix in terms of presenting a real threat along the border. So at the moment, we're really fighting what I would consider to be three borders rather than two, because I know that a lot of people regard the northern border as kind of one border, but really it's a border with Lebanon and a border with Syria, and there are two different situations. And in addition to that, of course, what's going on in Gaza is certainly something that the IDF has to keep its eye on at all times. And there is, you know, there is some alarm when things escalate on two borders all at the same time. You're right to say that things with Syria are also pretty tense at the moment. It's transpired that as a result of that Israeli strike against Iranian targets in Syria early in the week, that quite a number of Iranian soldiers were indeed killed and some others were injured. So this is really, you know, an attack against Iran, and we know that Iran doesn't take things like that too lightly. So there is a lot of tension at the moment with Iran about, you know, potentially whether Iran in the form of Syria or indeed Iran by itself may well retaliate against Israel, whether it be along that border or indeed against an Israeli embassy anywhere in the world. I mean, we know that Iran likes to operate like that as well. So there's certainly a certain amount of tension. But I think we need to bear in mind that, you know, not only are the IDF accustomed to dealing with this over many, many years, but they really are in a situation now where they've got amazing technology and amazing soldiers and amazing facilities, amazing training, that they're really ready for anything that may come up. And I think that we just need to put our trust in the IDF in terms of what they're going to be able to do to protect us.
All right. And how does the Israeli government decision to stop the transfer of Qatari money affect the situation?
Well, clearly this is part of the mix. You know, there were reports earlier in the week that the Qatari money was actually going to go through. This is part of an overall sum of about $150 million that Qatar has committed to give to Hamas. This would have been the third transfer of about $15 million that was supposed to have gone through to Hamas during the course of this week. Prime Minister Netanyahu announced yesterday that he has decided not to allow this third tranche to go into Gaza as scheduled because of the violence that took place yesterday. And apparently he did take this decision in coordination with security services as well. So it's not a purely political decision, but there is a certain military aspect to it as well. But, you know, this clearly does have an impact, because Gaza will be feeling it, Hamas will be feeling it, to the extent that Hamas doesn't have money to pay the people that work for the regime. They will not be viewing Hamas positively. Hamas will be trying to use this to drum up support against Israel, saying the reason that you're not getting your money is because of Israel. So all fingers are being pointed towards Israel. And of course, that generates further violence and further hatred towards Israel. So, you know, there is a very careful decision that the Prime Minister would have had to make yesterday about whether this money should be pushed through or not. Apparently, at least for now, it's not going to go through. But I suspect that it'll probably be paid in relatively near future without much fanfare. One day we'll wake up and we'll be told that 3 days ago the money was paid and, you know, that things have sort of calmed down a little bit. So, you know, we will just have to keep a watch on that to see how all of these things come together.
Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. Israel carried out a successful test of the Arrow 3, and that's the, of course, the anti-missile system yesterday. What role does the Arrow 3 play in the Israeli defense system?
I always feel quite fascinated by the way that the Israeli anti-missile systems have been put together in order to create really a very significant dome over Israel to protect Israel from any incoming missiles. The Arrow 3 is the one that actually protects Israel against ballistic missiles, against missiles that could potentially be fired outside of the atmosphere and potentially come from Iran, particularly because that's obviously where much of the focus is right now, but also potentially from other enemies of Israel. And, you know, there is this huge dome that spreads over Israel where the Arrow 3 fills the place of protecting Israel against the longest range missiles, those that are potentially capable of carrying nuclear payloads and that are potentially coming from outside of the atmosphere. Then we have, of course, the Arrows 2, which covers missiles that fly within the atmosphere. So shorter range missiles. Then we've got David Sling, which deals with medium level threats, heavy rockets, unmanned aerial vehicles and things of that sort of nature. And then, of course, we've got the very famous Iron Dome, which deals with very, very short range missiles. And there is talk about an even shorter range anti-defense missile system that is being developed, whether it be a laser system of some sort, which could potentially even be protecting us against things that even Iron Dome is unable to cope with in the short range area. So that's the whole umbrella that's spread over Israel in terms of protecting it. Arrows 3 is a very important part of that. Obviously, with the ongoing threat that we feel with Iran and with Iran potentially developing nuclear weapons, this is a very, very important aspect. And Israel, interestingly, has been working not only with companies, aerospace companies and defense companies within Israel, such as the Israel Aerospace Industries and the Rafael and Defense Systems, in conjunction with the Defense Ministry and the Israeli Air Force. But indeed, the U.S., there are U.S. Involvements as well. Israel has been working with the United States in order to modernize and to improve Arrow 3, which was actually deployed for the first time back in 2017. And so what the test was yesterday is really for an upgrade of the Arrow system. We're not told exactly what was upgraded and for obvious reasons, but we do know that at about 6:45 yesterday morning, there were sounds heard above the skies in the area of Palm Achim Air Base, which is in the central part of Israel. And we understand that there was some sort of a target that was fired and that the Arrows 3 was deployed in order to intercept this missile target that had been fired and that it all was carried out very successfully. And so there's a lot of a good feeling about whatever these new developments are that have been made for the Arrows 3, which we hope when it's called upon will be able to protect Israel, as we say, against those missiles that potentially come in from outer space through the Earth's atmosphere in order to get that long-range capability. So this is a very, very important part of Israel's overall defense system.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, this is unfortunately where we have to leave you. Very interesting indeed, and lots of developments taking place in Israel all the time at the moment. Quite concerning, and obviously we will keep a close eye on that.